Ask the Podcast Coach for March 26, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, welcome aboard. It is Saturday. It is Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting from Akron, Ohio. And right over there to my right, I guess. It's always weird. It's the mirror thing. The one and only Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you, and happy non-Windows 7 Saturday morning to you. We're coming in from a Windows 10. You know, I only mentioned that on the show because we've talked about it a bunch. Yeah. And so later on in the program, we'll talk about Windows 10.
Yeah, I know they're bugging the heck out of you on Windows. It's like, it's time, do it, come on, or we're going to do it for you.
It's some serious peer pressure. I mean, come on, you want some? Come on, it won't be bad. It's going to be great. We've got some updates for you.
It's free, so, man.
It's free. It's totally free. You'll love it.
Yeah. If you're new to the show, the way this works, we have an open seat right there. And if you have a question, you just click on that and ask your podcast question. That is the key. We do prefer you have a question, hence the name of the show, Ask the Podcast Coach. So, or as Dennis Hyde has done, he's just thrown one into the chat room. And Dave said, putting a marker, I just got my USB cable for my mic. When I plug it in, I get no sound from speakers. What the heck is going on? Well, there are, well, we need almost, you almost need to really come in to get this answered because it's Mac, PC, you know, because there's a little mixer on a PC and there are settings there for what's your input and what's your output. And so you might have to be telling it to go in and say, hey, my output is my speakers, things of that nature. Yeah. So he's going to go get his headphones and come back. So Dennis, awesome. Thanks for that. Chris Farrell is asking, after making the leap to Windows 10, what issues have you experienced? Well, it looks like we're going to talk about Windows 10 now, Jim.
Right off the bat.
The audience has spoken.
Yeah, most people, the issues they've experienced has been with the video drivers. So if you're doing a video podcast, if you're using vMix or one of those, you know, if you have a complicated setup, you have no reason to upgrade to Windows 10, by the way. You have none. There is absolutely no reason. You know, in most cases, Windows 10 is going to get you some security enhancements in the OS. There's some things they've done to kind of help you from that standpoint. But the features themselves, there's really no feature in Windows 10 I can point to the podcaster that says, oh, this is the must have, and this is going to make your podcast better by upgrading to Windows 10. A lot of people are freaking out because it's a free upgrade. It may not be free after July 29th. We don't know. Windows 7, they're going to drop support for Windows 7 pretty quick. And that's another reason, I shouldn't say pretty quick, it's going to be like 100 years. That's the way Microsoft works. But right. They are putting on the full court press to get people to upgrade to Windows 10. They really only want to update. They really only want to work on one code set at Microsoft. And Windows 7 has been so popular, they're working on getting people, you know, kind of moved over. So for the average podcaster, I've been recommending hold off. I think if you absolutely have to go to Windows 10, like I have to upgrade. You know, there are those people that are like that. I think between now and July would be okay in most cases if your setup is pretty simple. If you got a bunch of complex video stuff going on, you might want to hold off still. Just there's some testing going on. Throw it into the community. I have a Core i7 box, about 16 gig of RAM, SSD, a Samsung SSD. And I don't have a very – I use my PC as a PC. I don't have a very complex setup. Upgraded in place, didn't change any of the apps. I use Adobe Edition. I have Audacity. I do Skype. I do Hangouts. Here on Blab. I'm a Chrome user. I'm your typical PC guy. I've had zero issues with Windows 10. And I hear from a lot of my compadres out there, most of the time they're fine. And there will be, you'll have a weird, wacky setup and you're going to have some issues. And any upgrade,
right?
That is the case. Again, test, be ready for it. I think if you were thinking about doing it, now would be a fairly safe time to do it. Watch the complex setups. I'm not having too many problems. I think now is the time.
And I would also say, if you're going to do this, do it on a day when you have nothing else planned, because that's always the worst. When you do it, you're like, well, wait, I got to get to Easter in an hour and a half. And you're like, your right. machine goes, no.
It's a good hour, maybe two, depending on the speed of your PC. And then to Dave's point, you know, don't upgrade it a day before you're supposed to record the most important podcast interview of your life, right? Don't do that, people. Like, get those things out of the way. And make sure you got 3 or 4 days that you're where you're not recording. You may not have a show going on. You know, if you don't fit that criteria, don't upgrade. Just leave it. You're fine. Windows 7 is fine. There's nothing new in Windows 10 that you have to have. In fact, it takes some things away, like Media Center, gone. Like, if you had Media Center and you were watching TV, guess what? Not available in Windows 10. So it's gone. The file structure or the menu systems change a little bit. So you got to learn some new things. It's better than Windows 8 for sure. But God, if you don't have to upgrade, just leave it. It's fine. So you're not going to have that PC long enough that it's going to come out of, you know, that Windows 7 is going to come out of support. So I would not worry about it at this point. So Dennis joined us. So let's, Dave, let's kick it over to Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis.
Part. I assume this is the mic question. Yeah. USB. Oh, now we can't hear
now
you.
Now we can't hear you.
Shoot. That whole time. maybe the mic on your headset.
Well, Dennis is doing this. This has been on my list of things to try. If anybody's ever tried this, and I'm not making a pun here, try ca.st. It's an online audio editing. Because I contacted them and said, hey, do you have like redirects? I gave them all my questions. Do you change the file name? And they were kind of like, huh? I mean, they were really like clueless. And I went, okay, you are low on the priority. It does look neat. It looks like an online kind of Sony SoundForge audio editing tool. And no, I have not played with them yet, but they do look interesting.
They're kind of the all in. They try to take, think about Zencastr. Think about Zencastr with the ability then to edit those files online. And again, Zencastr's gotten real popular, and I'm hearing more and more people mention it. It's probably going through the hype cycle where it'll be real popular for a while and then it'll dip out. But yeah, I looked at it. I mean, even messed around with a few files. It would work. I'm still not thinking we're in the place where I can do all of my stuff in the cloud, right? This is kind of the full cloud. Everything in the cloud. And I'm not sure we're there yet. I like the local control that I get. I still like to edit my files on the desktop. That's just kind of what I get. They're local. They're fast. I'm not worried about an internet connection. I'm not worried about latency. I don't have any of those issues. I just like to bring those things local. Just my preference.
And I'm trying to see Jason Bryan, who got to be the PA announcer at Madison Square Garden. How cool is that?
That would be very nice.
He says it's certain. Is he talking about Zencastr or is he talking about TriCast? Let me get Michael in here. Kim, I will come back to your question.
You're coming in from his new garage studio.
Yeah.
No, that's my laptop with my little thing. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Hey, I had a couple questions for a couple of you fine individuals.
Okay.
I can get on Blab like I'm doing here, but I cannot initiate a Blab. And I put in a thing in here on the host to Blab. I put in a thing like test and I try to initiate it and it won't go. Any suggestions? And I've tried it on different machines.
Kind of error again.
It don't do nothing. I clicked the button.
What browser?
Well, I got this here on Chrome and I went ahead and tried not Netscape, what do they call it now? Firefox. And neither one. And I even tried it on my laptop and this.
So you click on start a blab and then you get to the host a blab section and you fill in test and get things scheduled. And I'm assuming you're choosing public and then you're saying right now. And then, so is the purple start blab button enabled for you?
Right.
Yeah. And you tried on different PCs. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I tried. I got my Mac and I tried my PC laptop and I can click the blab button, but nothing ever happens.
They're blocking.
And so I also even tried logging out as me, thinking it was maybe it was something that way.
You have it set to be on the record, right? You have it set to be public?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I got what I've got is what do you want to talk about? Is put test, add tags. I can even put test there too.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have not heard that yet, Michael. No.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering.
You're missing something in there. If it's unique to you, certainly universally people are starting blabs. And if it's unique to you, then you would want to eliminate the browser, which it sounds like you've done. Next, you would want to eliminate the OS, which is, you know, Windows at that point. And maybe there's something blocking it. You'd have a router or anything. Have you put in any kind of high speed router or anything?
That's I just got my normal router and I've been blocking.
You're not doing any blocking or anything.
Whatever like CenturyLink get me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the router I've had. Matter of fact, and I even tried, I tried Skype. It works. And I tried Zoom and it works. So
no, that's weird.
I'm getting through some kind of firewall if that was it, you know.
Did he disappear for you too, Dave?
Yeah. I hear him, but I can't see him.
We hear you, but we don't see you anymore.
So, yeah.
I think, Michael, there, can you hear us?
I don't think he can.
Oh. I think he's.
That's weird.
Yeah, I can hear you. Just
okay.
Oh.
And now he's gone completely.
Okay.
You could try scheduling. The chat room saying maybe try scheduling it. That sometimes will work if the other one doesn't. The other thing is reach out to Blab support, or if you can, if you have any way of making a screen, boy, I tell you what, when people send me like a movie, I don't know what, if they're using Windows Movie Maker or what, Dennis is coming back. So
good.
Let's see if we can get that.
See if we can get his sound working here. Dennis, can you hear?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
We can. Yeah. There you go.
I'm not computer savvy.
Which mic are we on, though? Are we on your headset mic, or are we on we're on that one? Just flip the headset. It so you know for sure. Just tap it.
Yep. All right. Yep.
Okay. But I just changed to Windows 10. See, I'm just quick on that one. But I bought a computer and had 7 on it. I'm used to XP. So as soon as I bought the 7, I went to 10. So I never even used the 7. So
7 and 10 are so close. To be honest with you, there's very little difference. A little bit of UI difference. I mean, certainly there's a huge difference in the code base behind the scenes. But stuff for the average user, you know, there's a big departure in 8. And then 10 came back to kind of what 7 looked like. And if you're a 7 user, you're pretty good at 10. It's super easy.
Yeah, I like 10. I love it. But anyway.
Talk about your mics. So what do you got? Yeah, what are we looking at there?
This is just a music mic. But I bought this cable. And when I plug it in, I get nothing through my speakers.
What's the end look like?
Yeah, let me
show us the end.
The
show
three
us the
prong.
End. Yeah, yeah. Just actually show it. Just,
the other end.
Indulge me. Yeah, no, the other end of this. Yeah, the other end.
Nope. The end that goes into the computer.
Yeah, the one.
Oh, you're the USB.
Yeah.
So sorry.
XLR to then. Never knew.
So that's XLR to USB, Dave. I haven't seen that yet.
Wow.
Show me the front. Okay, it is. Yeah, it's USB. And when you plug it in, there's a red light on there. Does that light up when you plug it in?
Interesting. Yes, it does. Wow. I've used it with my Audacity. It works great.
Yeah.
But you just can't hear anything.
I don't remember if I heard it through the – no, I didn't hear it through the speakers. But just when I just tried on my new computer, when I'm plugging it in, I'm getting nothing out of my speakers. So I don't understand that. I unplugged it and my speakers worked. So I don't understand what's going
on. Okay, so what it could be doing is it could be taking over. So when you plug it in, see how Windows recognizes it. If it recognizes it as an audio input, or does it recognize it as a complete sound card? So some of these Plantronics, you know, there's some Plantronics devices that when you get a headset like that, you get a USB sound card that comes with it, and it's got a jack on the back that says input and output. That's actually a sound card to Windows. And so that USB device, when you're plugging it in, it may actually be creating its own ports. So check that. Go into the device settings. There's a device manager in there. See how Windows is recognizing it. Because if it's its own sound card, then this is a little more complicated. You got to go into the sound setup and say, okay, I want to recognize this as the sound device for the PC to make that work. It's not just a dumb audio device. It's actually a really smart one. Now, is there a mic or is there a headphone out anywhere in that cable somewhere or?
No.
Okay. No, nope. I don't think that's the case, but that can be. This is the case with these Plantronics USB ports. There's some other, you know, the ATR2100 does this when you go into USB mode, right? When you're plugging it in, it's its complete sound device because it's got that audio. It's got that headphone jack in the back.
Right.
It's taking both audio in and audio out. And I'm kind of thinking, see, Dave's showing that right there.
Yeah, that's the headphone.
It actually becomes a sound device to Windows. So do this. Open up your device manager on Windows. Just, I think, in Windows 10. You're using Windows 10 for that one?
You can also...
Just real quick, Dave. Just right-click on the Windows icon, bottom left-hand corner, and go to device manager. That'll bring up all the devices, how they're being seen. Watch that when you're plugging it in and see how Windows is installing it. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Well, the other way I do that is if you right click on the little picture of the speaker in the bottom right hand corner, if you have that turned on, You can go into
sound properties.
Yeah, there's playback devices and recording devices, and that's kind of input and output.
Yeah, and you would want to check the recording. If it creates its own sound device, so to speak, then there's default communication and default audio. I forget the other one. Hold on, let me look it up here. There's two different ones you can do it as. One would be default default device. That'll be the one that Windows uses for all devices unless told otherwise. And then there's a default communications device, which is important to podcasters because things like Google Hangouts and Skype use that communication device setting to communicate. Again, this is really techie and very nerdy and probably a little lower than most people want to go, but it's my world. So the key would be to understand what that USB device is using. He just lost us because he just plugged it in. Yeah, can you still hear us?
I hear you.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
You got a funny look on your face.
Well, that's because I'm not computer savvy.
So when you do that, when you do what you just did and you're in that, what to Dave's advice, so if you go down to the speaker and you choose, you right-click and choose playback options.
Yes, I've right, tried
all that. Then when you speak into the microphone, you'll see where it's coming out.
Check. See, I'm on the wrong one.
Yeah.
For you to hear that now, you've got your headphones on. You'd have to tell it the speakers are my headset.
Yeah. Right.
So
down to everything, right? Remove everything that has anything to do with sound and start. This is the basics of troubleshooting, right?
Yeah.
Do make it one easy. Thing at a time.
Actually, I see it now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Cool. Good. So I think you're on the right track. And then it's just a matter of assigning that then to the right place where you want it to come out. This is where it gets real complicated with podcasters when we have multiple input and multiple output devices. It's where's the sound going? You know, think of it like streams of water and you're channeling the water to go various places. Yeah. If you think of it that way, it makes it a little bit easier. I think you're on to it. I think you're figuring it out. Click around a little bit more. Get it set to the right devices. I think you're in business.
Thank you. Thank you a lot, guys.
Bet, thanks, Dennis.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
You bet. If you're the audience, I'm sorry I got so nerdy.
It was knee deep in there. Okay, let's go.
That's what I do.
Let's go back to, Jim's like, hey, we're in my world now. Yay. Cast.market is a place for, and there's a few of these coming out. In fact, I just got an email from another company that's doing this. Everybody wants to be the place where podcasters can find sponsors and sponsors can find podcasters. So I signed up at cast.market and it's not cast.market.com. It's cast.market. And I signed up as a podcaster and you go in and say, this is what CPM I want for my show, which of course you're asking very, very high. I went over and signed up as an advertiser to see if there are any shows that I might want to sponsor as well. And this is where I had a problem with those guys. Is I said, I found a couple shows that were basically kind of Christian-based business shows. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go with that niche. And I picked three shows, that's it, of which apparently they got no email saying, hey, somebody wants to sponsor your show, or they just didn't like what I was offering. And so I go back in later because I see where they've charged my card. And I'm like, I don't remember anybody accepting my offer. So I go in and sure enough, somebody did, which was fine. But they also added like another 8 shows. And I'm like, whoa, time out. I didn't approve those other 5 shows. And I emailed them and said, dudes, what's up? The one show did, which is cool. And they emailed back. And they said, well, we saw what you were looking for and we just added them. And I went, hey, no, that's why I chose those 3. And so they said, well, you can pause your campaign if you'd like, because there was a cap. I wasn't worried about them spending a gazillion dollars. But as a sponsor, I was not crazy about that. I liked the fact that I could pick what shows I wanted to sponsor. I was not crazy that they decided to go, and these 5 too. So it's interesting. The bad news is it's CPM. So you're looking at, $15 to $40 for CPM. And if you get 200 downloads, you make enough to go buy a candy bar at the end of your show. Not really my thing, but so it's interesting. The other one, let me see if I can get the, I just got an update. It's like Advertise Cast is another one. We've received some negative feedback from you within the past 12 hours on our last update. And because of this, we're making some site changes. So it's brand new, same exact thing. And it's, here's the interesting thing is, we have to be careful with these. You know, we talked about people doing the whole, Twitter botting and fake reviews and all that other stuff to where your stats mean crap. Some companies might actually ask you to use their stat system because, well, we've blown our integrity. So just keep that in mind. but it's, there's a few of these that are popping up. I know, starts with a P. Podbean is going to set up something very similar to where they want to be like Match.com for podcasters and sponsors. So I think we're going to see a lot of this coming up, almost like players. It's just the one thing they need is A, people willing to sponsor shows, and then B, they need to promote it so that people know what they are talking about. Steven asked a great question. When I'm talking candy bars, are we talking regular size or king size? Boy, that's tough.
It's probably going to be regular.
Yeah, because
you're not going to make enough for king size. Those are like $7 now.
Yeah.
When you go to get a king size M&Ms, and they got like five M&Ms in them, where the regular is like three M&Ms.
Yeah, I think it is more than a fun size. I mean, that's the good news. I just don't think it's a king size. So that's the good news. Michael Ray has found his way back. I don't know. We'll see.
How are you doing?
He's back. Yeah,
your video went bad, and then
everything went to hell.
So
I think they're blocking you, man.
I am the fun size, but I'll tell you what. I went back on Blab to try it again, and I put in something, and where it says add tags, I just happened to put veterans there.
That was it. You needed some tags.
Yeah, and then I pushed it, and it went. So
there you go.
Okay, there's two more questions I got, and I'll let you guys go.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was asking me, and she does a podcast, and this is going to be for probably the both of y'all, recording Blab. You put it on that, you guys put it on your recorder when it comes out, like your audio.
No.
You put it on your little handheld recorder.
I am recording it now as we speak, so I don't have to put it on the recorder. It's already there. And if for some reason I forget to hit record or something goes wonky on it, my battery goes dead, I just use the recording from Blab is already recording Blab.
Right.
As long as you click the recording button.
Right. And with your H5, you just push the pause button real quick and that marks it?
No, there's actually on the side of the camera, there's this little button right here, and that's where it puts a marker. So like now, I'm going to just go, and that's, and so what I can do now, what I'm trying to do today, because it takes a while to do show notes for this, I can go down now and say at the 25, 15 minute mark, Michael Blab part two. So.
Okay. And also about, she was wanting to know something about, she was on Blab and something about the embed code. I'm thinking maybe she wants to put on her site.
Right. When you make a Blab, when you get done making it, boom, the first thing it does is give you that embed code. I highly recommend you do it then and now. Otherwise, you'll forget it. So just copy that. Go to WordPress. Switch to the text or the HTML view. Paste that in there and hit update and publish and all that other stuff. And that will be on your website.
Yeah, because Jenny would be listening to this because I told her to listen to it later on because she can. Yeah. So I think that was it. But I sure like this Blab thing. It's live and
it's
all
fun.
That stuff. So
super handy. Super handy. Yeah. All right. Well, glad we figured. We're two for two, Dave.
That's it.
Yes.
We got a good one.
All right. Well,
sorry. I thought he was done.
See you, Michael.
Here's a fun question.
Yeah.
This is from Kale from FoTimePodcast.com. He does a show about ham radio. My listeners have funded my trip. He's going on a trip for this ham radio thing. Mm-hmm. 192%. How cool is that?
Wow. Nice.
That will leave me some funds that I feel must be used to make the show better, of course.
Yeah.
So it looks like I need to upgrade some gear. Now, that's the question here. Here are my ideas I have in the order that I am learning or that I'm leaning. One, mixer with slides because that's how I like it. Currently, I have a 5-channel Behringer Q502 USB with knobs. Two, mic upgrade or not, currently using an ATR2100 right now. 2B, mic stand upgrade. I have a cheap clamp-on boom. 3, portable recorder. Currently have the Zune H1 that is very elementary. Can do it all. I'm making great content. I know my audience. I have 3 sponsors, and now my listeners are funding a show-related trip. Time to upgrade that gear to make the show even better. So I emailed him back. I said, what's your budget? And he said he's not sure, but probably somewhere between $200 and $500. And so my whole thing was, you know, unless the boom arm is squeaking and not working, why replace it? If the mixer is working, why? I'm like, for me,
Yeah, sliders don't make it sound any better.
No.
They're cool, but they don't make it, unless you don't push them up.
Right, exactly. My thing at this point, if you really want to make your show notes sound better, DBX 286 S. Is that it? Is that the right model number?
I think so.
I got one right in front of me. 286.
Mike says yes, so I think I think you're in the right ballpark.
I guess if I really want to make the show sound better, because I mean,
that complicates it, Dave. I think for most podcasts, that 286 complicates it. It's another knob to get wrong, right? Yeah.
And he doesn't really have a mixer set with inserts, so that would make it a little.
No, I know. Yeah, it's like don't upgrade. I don't think there's anything in there that's going to make the sound that much better at that budget price point. You know, it's just like. Hold on to that. You might even want to, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what's the sound like now? And are there issues with it? Like you said, the squeaking arm, maybe you got cheap cables. And so you're getting a little in the background. Right. You got cheap cables, man. Cables can make all the difference in the world, especially when they're gold plated monster cables, then they're awesome. Right. And they're no, I'm just kidding. but you know, you might want to think about upgrading your cables to make it work. And I guess if they are, and then are you always podcasting in the same studio? So if this stuff's all the time, or are you trying to take it on the road? I'd say upgrade that, and I'm not a big fan of these, but that portable voice recorder.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
You could get some utility out of that in the future with it. That might actually help you out. So I think if there was one thing, as long as the arm's not squeaking, if that arm is squeaking, replace it. That's number one.
And even that, I would say, like, what are you using the H1 for, or whatever it is, the HM1? Because if it's just to record the content, he's not needing, you know, it's like, Mike Phillips does make a good point. You don't need inserts to use the 286. You can plug the mic directly into it, and then that microphone into it, you basically just put it in line with everything else. So,
yeah, Mike Howard says he replaced all his cables. It makes a difference. Cables are underestimated problems, right? It's just one of those kinds of things. We get the cheap cables that came with the ATR 2100. Actually, they're not too bad, but cables sometimes can be those things that make or break the sound. That can be where a hiss comes from. That can be where, you know, and don't go with the cheapest cables. Like, buy some good cables. Go with the mid in the mid area.
Don't get the cheapest ones.
Mike Phillips and say, what are the best cables? Because he seems to know.
Mike says he uses the MDX 2600, which is the I believe that's the Behringer one. Yes, this is the Multicom Pro. It's $150. Yeah, it's true. That's not a bad choice. It took me a while to figure out how to get mine to work. But then I let it sit in my basement for 2 years doing nothing. And when I then plugged it back in, it didn't matter what knob I used. It just didn't do anything. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it got.
You know, if you use the 2100, a cloud lifter may help too. Get because they're so gain hungry.
That's true.
You know, you may get a little more gain out of it. So, Dennis, what do you think? Can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Can actually hear you. Yes. Hey there you go.
I think it must just have a safety feature where it's not going to allow the speakers. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
are you hearing yourself in your headset?
Long as I have the headset on, this will work.
Cool.
That's the best way to do it anyway.
I agree. I mean, you're only going to record or you're listening. So I can't hear myself anyway. If I had the speakers on, I'd be hearing myself.
Right. We'd be getting an echo too if you were doing that. Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, you bet, Dennis. Thanks for checking in, man. Appreciate it.
And there are times that you just need to buy the gear. This is from February 28th, 2000. And let's see, what is this? 2001. Hold on. It is from February 28th, 2011.
Now, the other piece of equipment that I would just love to have, talking about the very first podcasting expo, that's when I found this piece of equipment. It is the Apex 230. I saw this again at the very first podcasting expo. It's kind of a compressor, de-esser. It adds kind of that cool bottom end warmth to it, as well as tweaking the top. It just basically makes you sound so good. I wish I had one. It goes for $899. Now, again, if you're new to podcasting and you're thinking, well, I don't have $1,500 to start podcasting, you don't need to. You can really get going for about $200 or $300, depending on your budget. But the question wasn't what's your budget? It was, what if I didn't have one? That would be the top shelf equipment that would be in my little studio if I was buying the stuff. So there you go.
And the fun part is, of course, I've watched that piece of equipment since 2011, and somebody was selling one for half that price, and I had to pull the trigger. I was like, oh.
Really? You bought one?
I bought one. It's on its way. It's in California.
Nice.
And I was like, it's not eBay? Really going to be – It's so what we'll do now in the future, Jim, is you'll take the 286 on this show, and then I'll have the Apex. Nice. So yeah. It'll be like double the – yeah, I was like – I'm like, wow.
Put the model in the chat room for folks so they know what you're talking about.
It is. In fact, I've got the link. I'm not sure what the actual model number is, but they are costly. Here, let me pull that up on Amazon.
Is it too late to drink coffee from a Christmas mug? Is it too late?
I don't think so. It's just called the Channel Master. I am the Channel Master preamplifier and input processor. I just know I saw this thing at like one of the first New Media Expos. I think it was the Portable Expo something at that point, and it just was it gave me an eargasm. And
it's still $1,000 new.
Yeah, it's $1,000 new, and I got it for basically a little under five, and I was like, some things you just got to pull the plastic out for.
No,
Steve Stewart, but
if you, oh, Dave,
yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, some things, you know, it's what it's worth to you. So that sounds pretty cool.
And really the bottom line was I wanted to be like Randy Cantrell. Cause when I heard Randy, I'm like, are you using an Aphex? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you can just hear
that. Some sweet pipes.
He does have sweet pipes.
Yeah, he has some sweet pipes. Yeah. He just sounds good. Hey, the other piece of equipment not mentioned in there is headphones, you know,
and that's true.
And if you got a good set of, if you have headphones on a lot and you've had a cheap pair of headphones on, that is just not goodness for your ears. And so that may be something, you know, you use over the, you know, you use cans over the ear. I prefer in-ear, these earbuds is the ones I like, super comfortable, great sound. I can wear them all day. I mean, I've literally worn them 8 hours.
Wow.
And they're very, very comfortable. And they let in ambient sound, so it sounds good. So that may be an upgrade too, if you're thinking about it. That one wasn't mentioned. When you think about what makes your podcast sound better, it may be you're not hearing it right. And so if you're hearing it correctly, that may be something you want. And that's right in the, you know, really good pair of headphones are in that $100 to $150 category where you could get some good. Dave, what are you wearing?
I am wearing Audio Technica ATH M30s. And the thing I like about these is my pads are getting kind of worn. Looks like somebody's been chewing on them. I can buy replacement ear pads.
I never see your ears. I don't know what you look
like. I actually do. Yeah, they're actually pretty big. So I could show you pictures of me like when I was five and I had a crew cut that if the wind caught me the right way, it was just, I was off to the races. So we got somebody calling in. It is Smads Czar. What can I add to my Mackie 1402 VLZ4 mixer to give me echo, deep voice, or chipmunk effects? Wow, mine is built into my mixer. Man, back in the day, it was the Yamaha SPX90, which you could probably pick up for a song at this point on eBay. But what he's talking about, I don't know if this even goes through. Do I sound like I'm in a cave now? Yeah. So, I mean, it's built in. It's completely worthless for the record. I use that almost, I think, is this the one now?
I love that. It's completely worthless for the record, but I've got one too. I'm on the Pro FX8 and it's got some, to be honest, I've never even used them.
Yeah.
Totally and completely unused. There would be some interesting, if you're doing some podcasting where you need those voice effects, you know, there's that radio voice, there's the, like the cavern voice. I've heard you use that on your podcast and that does add some nice little, especially if you're trying to be funny or make a point or whatever. You're like, hello, I've heard you use that on School Podcasting. Or like, hello, is anybody here? Yeah. And you got the cavern.
You can also do that in software. You can do that post-production. Yeah. You can go in and add echo, which I do a lot on occasion. If I remember, I'll do it here, but, most of the time. Emily's got an interesting question. Let's get Emily. Okay, why is it not letting me? Oh, there we go. I scroll down. There we go. And when my co-host and I record our audio sounds pretty good. As soon as I throw raw promos from other podcasts or another track and compress everything, sometimes our audio will sound off to compensate. Let me see here. Could it be a compressor? I'm hitting the show more button and it's not showing me more.
Don't bring the audio in. Don't bring their audio in and then compress that whole thing together. Like, get those two sounding right and then do the mix. I guess this depends on what you say, compress everything. What does that mean? Compress everything. What are you using? What's the software? Those kinds of things. I would not take music recorded or music or vocals or even vocals recorded in different areas, put them together, and then that compression piece, when you put them together, it's going to be difficult. I mean, that's kind of sound engineer quality stuff to make it kind of work right. Cause you have different samplings and you got different volumes and you've got different pieces. That's always a recipe for, I would do, if you're worried about levels at that point, like one's louder than the other, don't use compression or normalization to fix that. Just fix it using the volume on each channel. That's what I would do. And that's what I do. I think it works better.
Well, speaking of Emily,
join us. Yes.
There she is.
I know you had questions. I wanted to come join you and say hi.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I didn't think to compress separately because I figured the compressor just took all the audio and made it pretty even.
Well, and what are you using? When you say compress, what does that mean? What software are you in? What are you using? What's the effect? What's that?
It's the dynamic compressor within Audacity, if that helps.
Okay. And why do you feel you need to use that?
Just to level everything, because it sounds good at just our audio. And then once I started adding promos from other people and compressing the whole thing, it would make us sound off. Sometimes we would sound echoey. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going through the whole file and it's trying to make everything. And you're taking a file that may not have as high quality. And so it's taking the quality of the other ones to kind of take them to make a match. So don't do that. Listen to, I prefer ear compress it, right? If you mix it in and it sounds fine, it's fine. Like, you don't have to use a compression tool or you don't have to use a leveler tool. If it sounds okay, run with it. It's fine. Like, don't overcomplicate it, because that software, it tries to be smarter sometimes than it actually is. And so that's why you're getting that weird sound. So I would say record them where you get the levels, fine. Mix it together. Ear it. So, hey, does this sound okay? If one's louder than the other, just in Audacity, bring the volume down till they match and have it match with your ear, then leave it alone.
Okay. That's a great tip. Thank you very much.
That's kind of what I do. Anytime I have multiple clips, I'll either through Auphonic or something, I'll get the audio level right first, and then I'll bring them into Audacity, or in my case, Audition. And that way I'm not trying to compress, because some of those need a lot of compression and some of them need very little. So now you're trying to do this one size fits all. So get everything the way you want it and then bring it into Audacity to then mix it down.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the
video.
And where can people find your podcast?
We are at classylittlepodcast.com.
Awesome.
If you guys want to drink wine early in the morning, you can listen to us right now.
That would make for a much better show, I think. We'll have to start doing that. As the podcast coach.
I might be doing that now. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It might be what
you in your
doing.
Christmas mug.
That's
nobody
it.
Will mind.
No judgment. No judgment.
Hi, guys.
Bye. See you, Emily.
Okay. Let me get
Dave,
this.
Before we move on, though, I think sometimes we get a little crazy with Levelator and some of those tools where, I always ask the question, do you have to run effects? If it sounds good, just leave it. Like, if you like it, run it. Only use those tools if you absolutely need to fix things. Like, obviously, if you get an edit, if you're doing this big, long interview and their sound is down and your sound is up and it's an hour long and it would take you 4 hours to manually move all those things up. You don't want to do that. Levelator is a tool that makes it easier for you, Auphonic, some of those kinds of things. And they've got some cool little things that help. But if the audio is good, leave it.
Yeah, I had a client that was, they had this compressor on that channel and the fader was way, way up. So the compressor is going, trying to keep up with it. And in the process of squashing it, it made it sound kind of echoey. And then, yeah. So I was like, well, hold on.
Underwater.
Yeah, I'm like, it was actually a decent recording, but the fader was up so high that the compressor is trying to make it stay at this level. I'm like, just turn it down so the compressor doesn't have to work so hard. You're trying to get it to this level. Hey, what do you know? It's already at that level, so just don't do anything to it. You don't have to fix it. But they were putting it in and then squashing it, and I was like, wow, that's not going to do you a whole lot of good.
Mike Phillips makes a great point. Like, okay. Work as hard as you can to get the audio right at the source. Like, you can never go wrong with getting it right at the very source. And this is why a lot of folks want to record in multi-track, because they want to have that flexibility to be able to adjust when they get done. But totally agree. Do your best possible, you know, to get it done there. And to be honest, most podcasters are trying, right? They're trying to do the best they can to get the source. And then they get home and they realize, Dave, I was listening to, I think, Ask the Podcast Coach from last week or 2 weeks ago, and you had run a line in on that voice recorder, and we were fine. You were a little overmodulated at that point. Yeah. I mean, it was just, you could just kind of hear it. And it happens, right? Those kinds of things happen. And after the fact, it's really hard to get it out. That's the problem. When it's just you, yeah. I was fine. The guests were fine. You were just over. That's really hard. And I get that.
And last week we had Michael Ray calling in from his garage, and he was way, way away from his microphone. So when I boosted that up, it just sounded like he was, you know, it sounded like, here, it's Michael Ray. And oh, wait, that's just the wrong effect. But I lost my reverb, but you get the point. And so Auphonic, you know, always run everything through Auphonic because it is such a mixing nightmare here. Just to try to get everything right. But it really made Michael sound even more like he was in a cave. So,
yeah. You can't, if it's crap in, sometimes it's really hard to fix.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. The other question we do have, the person that was trying to get in before was having problems, said, I wanted to ask if there's a way to make normal mobile headphones sound better for podcasting. I'm not sure what he means. I mean,
well, that's another thing. If you have, you know, if you go to Amazon and buy a crappy $5 pair of headphones. Earbuds or a, you know, although that's not always true. Sony makes these $15 headphones that, that are over the ear, although they're not completely over the ear, and they cause a little bit of ear fatigue if you wear them very long. You know, ears kind of get sweaty, that's kind of thing. But, you know, it's not always depending on what you're doing. Price isn't always the case. But, you know, I like to hear when you're speaking, right? And if you're pushing your voice back in and you've got a pair of noise canceling earbuds, you're jamming those things in your ear and they're blocking out all the sound, right? They're meant for airplanes, not podcasting. And so if you jam those in, then you sound like, you know, just put your fingers in your ears for a second. Just do that if you're listening. Put your fingers in your ears and then start talking. That's what it sounds like when you use noise-canceling headphones as podcasting ones, because you're getting it's plugging the normal sound that you would hear through your voice. So you got to try sets to see what works best for you and then get those in there, you know, and the cheap ones, I don't think are always the best. Spend a little money on it.
Yeah. It's garbage in, garbage. Cause I've done that. I've been where I've forgotten them, and you go to Walmart and you're like, I don't want to spend a lot of money cause my other headphones are at home on my desk, you know? And so you buy these and they're just, I found them where, they're just not, I mean, you can crank up your phone as loud as it can. You just can't hear it. And then I've had other ones where they just sound like a tin can because, well, it's, you know, what do you want for $2?
The newest ones from Apple that you're getting when you get with your iPhone, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They actually have a pretty good mic on it. So if you're podcasting a guest and they have an iPhone, and you're struggling with the right setup for them or whatever, they're trying to come in a laptop and that speaker sounds bad, just get them on their iPhone. That's a really good, the white ones that come with it. And surprisingly, they're pretty comfortable. You know, remember the old ones that you kind of fall out and they drop out. They've gone with a molded style now, and you can put those in. You can wear those a while and they're actually not bad. Yeah. That style right there, that is not a bad, and they don't fit so snug that they, you know, block that ambient sound. So it's because they're actually safe, right? They're meant for working out and being outside. And so they let some of that ambient sound in. So that's in a lot of people, those may be the best earbuds that you don't have to buy.
Yeah. And you're glad when you do, because, of course, those are $30 because it has the Apple logo on the box.
Yeah, if you go to buy them. If you're going to go buy something, I recommend these earbuds, Y-U-R-B-U-D-S. You can get them anywhere. They're available in Walmart or Best Buy here in the United States. They'll ship them overseas, whatever. They were designed for athletes, you know, who wear earbuds all the time when they're working out. So a triathlete kind of designed them. He's like, I want to be able to wear them 5 or 6 hours at a time when I'm doing my workouts. They have turned out to be the greatest earbuds for podcasting that I've just ever had. So I make no money off them. Y-U-R-B-U-D-S. Check it out. They're great podcasting and they're comfortable.
And I have come to the conclusion, for whatever reason, my keyboard has just quit working and it's not wireless. So that's fun. I can't type in the chat room. Before we've got time for a couple more calls, but I do want to say thank you, especially to Andy Sokolovich from UnleashStrengths.com, Frank Brill from Dale Hing. I always butcher his name, Henninger, I believe, or Henninger, Jer. Something. Michael Ray from ADHD Think Tank, Ivy Envy, better known as Corey Finneran, Ed Bubbero from InsideOutZone.com, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv, David Wilson, this is RUEL RUEL's running podcast, the Seahawkers podcast, Craig from Inglés podcast, that is INGLES podcast.com. As well as Glenn the Geek from Horse Radio Network and our newest awesome supporter, Corey, I guess it's, how would you pronounce S-I-S-S-O-N? Sisson? Sisson? Not sure, but,
Sisson.
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 So
I think that sounds good. That sounds French.
It does. Sisson. Sisson. So thanks to everybody. If you want to be an awesome supporter, go out to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And you get, that's one of the things I'm doing after the show today is to put up last week's after the show thing, which includes our fun blooper of a beginning from last week.
That was so funny last week.
I hit the wrong button.
It was super fun. And it was just a couple errors in a row. That was just hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun. Yeah. You should definitely check those things out. Oh, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
On this earbud thing, and then we'll dive in lips. One of the other things, and this is a really misused. It's not a lot of people do it, but with earbuds, when you're having trouble hearing, like they're not loud enough for whatever reason when you get them through, you can purchase a $30, a $60, a $90 headphone amplifier, which sometimes now that won't change the quality. If you have crappy sound coming in, it's going to just amplify the crappy sound. But that has really helped in a studio setting where I need to run multiple headphones. If you just use a splitter, it will degrade the sound. If you use a headphone amplifier that's powered, you'll get some ability for everybody to have their own levels, and it will amplify the sound across those channels. So that may be another tool when we talk about something to add to your toolbox that you know, like if you're not going to upgrade earlier on, we're talking about upgrading. That is a nice upgrade for a studio, especially if you want to control the sound volume that's coming into earbuds. Come out of the jack on your mixer or whatever and run that into a headphone amplifier and run those out. And then it gives you some nice ability to self-level. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's this is driving me nuts with no keyboard. When I was doing a podcast with my ex-wife, I'm deaf apparently, and she's not. And so I had to get a headphone amplifier because I would split them. I just bought a splitter to where, and she's like, why is this so loud? I'm like, what are you talking about? So that like, definitely.
What?
Yeah. The thing you want to keep in mind with headphone volume is I've seen people that'll go, it sounds great to me because they've got their headphone volume just jacked right up. And so consequently, their recording volume is way, way low because if they were to jack that up to where it's supposed to be, where -6, -12, it'd blow their headphones off. So be careful with that because there are times when I've seen people, it's a really easy mistake to do. Go, it sounds great in my headphones. Well, it's because your headphones are jacked way up. And so
it's coming through a different, I mean, while it's coming out through the mains, it has a separate audio, you know, a volume adjustment. So you can crank that up and do it. And it's really hard when your audio, when you've recorded and it's super quiet, it's really hard to make that any better. You use that glass analogy, right? And in the air space in there, in the glass, you know, you want to kind of bring that up as close to the top as you can without it overflowing. Because bringing that up is going to create a lot of artifacts, a lot of hissing and you know, sussing sounds. I don't know what those are called. So yeah, make sure you get those levels right. But that's a good point.
Yeah, it's really super easy to do. And boy, this might be the tease of all teas. If you stick around for the post show, he might. He's not committing. But Daniel J. Lewis may show off his new look. And if you haven't seen it,
it is spectacular.
Whoa!
It is. He's going to save a lot of money on shampoo.
Might be the first debut of this look. I kind of like it. It's the cold steel look.
I don't know that.
When I say cold, I mean cold.
Yeah. I don't know if I would ever have, because I have, like I said, I have pictures of me when I was 5 and I had a buzz cut. And I'm not. Now, on the other hand, when my hair gets long, as you can see it here, it gets all curly up here. I have a hilarious picture of me when I'm 2, and it looks like my mom took me to the photo shoot on a motorcycle or something like that. My hair is just going bonkers everywhere. Jason Bryan, why don't you hop in here, buddy? I want to hear your story about Madison Square Garden. He's like, oh, man, I don't have my – he's got to go find his hat.
Dave, you were going to say – I cut you off. You were going to say something about Lipson.
I was just going to actually say it's kind of weird because I think it's next week. Lipson has a an update coming out that I can't really talk about.
But you just did.
Yeah, but I just did. And the interesting thing is I know Blueberry has an update coming out that I also can't really talk about. So it's going to be interesting because I'll just leave it at that. It's going to be fun to watch somebody go, oh, and then like in about whenever theirs comes out, be like, oh, don't. So, which no, is,
Mike says you can talk about it.
Oh, I can talk about that. Can I really? The thing with the thing, the player, is that Blueberry is coming out with a player, because right now, if we're going to play the Lipson Blueberry card, you can use Lipson on any website, and you couldn't unless you want to feel free to correct me here. I think you had to have, now let me back up. You could put a link to the MP3 file on any website, but an actual embeddable player, you had to have WordPress. I'm sorry, you had to have WordPress so you could have PowerPress so you could get the embed code. I could be wrong on that, but true. Now that's not going to be the case. You're going to be able to embed a player without using PowerPress, which will be kind of cool. So that will be so those people on a Wix or some other sort of old, or if you have, I know Glenn the Geek always talks about getting somebody to help promote your show. So if you had a sponsor and you wanted to say, here, put this on your page, you could do that even if they weren't using PowerPress or WordPress. So that's a new feature coming out in Blueberry.
2016, you're the player. We called it.
Yeah, it is. So
totally called it.
Well, the cool thing is I believe it has the speed up interface. So, which is cool. Cause I don't know about you. It's so funny that I'm so used to that now that when I go to like a Vimeo video and there's no speed up, cause the first thing I do when I see that little YouTube logo, I'm like, oh, cool. Click, bing, bing, 1.5x. And it's
with YouTube. You're using what to speed it up
on YouTube, any YouTube video, usually, unless they turn it off, you can click on the little gear in the bottom right hand corner and choose the speed. Because these marketing videos are, you know, let me tell you about, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now the way there's more. And you're like, I just want to see the software. And
Mike Phillips asked an interesting question. Like, when is Lipson going to come out with an app that would compete with PowerPress?
Soon.
Hmm.
Very soon. And here's the thing. It's beta. We have a WordPress plugin now, and the cool thing about it, when it works, is that we even tell people this is not for a live website. It's for if you want to test it.
I don't know how you compete with Angelo or a Power. I mean, that thing has been. I mean, yeah. He is years ahead of everybody else, and it's a great plugin. I don't know if I was on Lipson, I would use it. With it. I mean, I don't know why I would want to test something or why I would want to use something new or more. Our friends at Blueberry have made that so friendly to any platform. I mean, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't use PowerPress. What would be a situation? Can you think of a situation where PowerPress is limiting me from doing something with Lipson? I can't think of one.
No. not really. I mean,
it's a great app. I mean, it is a great plugin.
When you publish on Libsyn, you can automatically have it go to Facebook and Twitter and SoundCloud and LinkedIn and all that other stuff. And then it's going to give you that direct link. You can, I mean, that's what I've been doing for years on the School of Podcasting. I use PowerPress, but I use Libsyn for my hosting.
Well, Classy Podcast says if you have Squarespace. Well, if you have Squarespace, none of the plugins work. So
right, exactly.
It doesn't matter if Libsyn comes out with one anyway.
Well, no, you can put a Libsyn player on, and now you'll be able to.
I'm talking the PowerPress plugin that allows the functionality of that, not the player piece. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mark is asking us, what microphones are we using? I recommend everybody get this one, which is what Jim is using. That's the ATR2100 from Audio Technica, which you can find at bestpodcastinggear.com. I've actually got a little bundle over there with the arm and the pop filter and all that stuff for it's a little over $100. The microphone I'm using right now is the Electrovoice RE320, which is one of my faves because it doesn't do pretty much wherever I'm at. It doesn't really do the whole, usually when you get right up on a microphone, it really changes the tone of it. So that's why I like this microphone over something like the Heil PR40. Not that the Heil PR40 is bad. It's an awesome microphone. It's just not, I like this one a little better.
Can I clarify something too on this last thing with PowerPress? As we think about PowerPress and the plugin, you know, PowerPress does a lot of things beyond the player piece, right? So let's separate the player out for just a second. So RSS feeds, all that, all those under the covers kind of thing, category, channel, all that stuff. That's not what I would try to recreate when we think about a Libsyn piece of software. Like PowerPress just does it. That's worked so well. We're in a new era of players, and both Blueberry and Libsyn apparently are going to come out or have players that are coming out that will work on any website. So Squarespace, there's lots of different players in that space now that are becoming available for that are embeddable, right? That's kind of the big thing now. It's like, okay, great. How do I get this player? It's embeddable. Audio Boom has been in that space. SoundCloud has been in that space. It's nothing new. All these players would do it. The question is, with my host provider, Blueberry, Libsyn, is there a native player that I can use to go to Squarespace? That answer is either yes or it will be yes very soon.
Yeah. In the chat room here, we have Bangs Naughty Bit asks, what's the difference between an RE20 and RE320? And I don't know, the RE274, about $100. The RE20 is the one that's used in most radio stations. And the RE320 has, I know I have some sort of bass roll-off switch. I'm not sure if that's on the RE20 or not, but the RE20 is like the staple of every radio show in America, and it's like another $100. So we'll answer some more questions here as we go into,
because we got Mark's question about Spreaker in there.
So we'll definitely be hitting those, and we have a question about Drupal. So if you're listening to this not live, we are here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and we do a little thing called the post show, which is about another half hour. And if you're one of our awesome supporters, you can go over and sign up. Just like my new bestest buddy, Cody Sison.
I think that you should change his name to that. If it's not,
Sison. Sison. So thanks to all of our awesome supporters at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. On this week's School of Podcasting, I'll be reviewing the Podcast Interview Wizard, which is a piece of software that I started playing with, and I'm still not quite sure. It's interesting. It's kind of a cookie cutter way to get a bunch of questions to ask your interviewer. And I'm going to be kicking the tires on that a lot today. It's kind of cool. And then kind of head scratcher. So Jim, anything coming up on theaverageguy.tv?
Yeah. We just talked a little bit about why we podcast and tech podcasting, the kind of the state of tech podcasting today. We don't normally talk about podcasting on Home Gadget Geeks, but we just happened to talk about it. So if you want to join us over there, that show comes out this weekend, theaverageguy.tv.
Awesome. And we are here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. If you can't make it live and you have a question, you can do what Kale did and said, here's my question for this Saturday. So thanks to everybody for listening. And now's the time, mein Sprockets, wenn wir dance.